Welcome to the Awakening to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Athena. This podcast is more than a podcast. It's a transformative journey designed to help you awaken to your abundance, for you to discover what living the fullness of life means to you. As always, we're jumping right in with today's episode.
Okay, and so my other question is, if I'm constantly growing and my preferences are changing, if I am manifesting my perfect person, then will I attract from that point? Meaning, I get that our preferences are always changing. And then especially with each relationship that we have, we become more in tune with our actual desires. But where does growth and expansion for both parties, like whoever I'm attracting in, how does that work with expansion?
When you pull in the partner for you, one of the things you could say is that we grow and expand together. If that's important to you, then call in a partner who's willing to expand with you. My husband is not as much into this as I am, but he has seen me manifest all sorts of things. So he's like, hey, okay, I'll go along with it. You don't have to be like exactly the same. As long as they're willing, he doesn't shut me down or say it's dumb or none of that stuff. He is very supportive of it. Now, that being said, for people who it's really important, you want to be on the same page, you want them to feel the same way about it, then decide that if you're not with the person already. Say you're in a relationship or in a marriage and you decide that you're moving along this path. In your mind, will your spouse or your partner, will they expand with you? Even if they don't follow the exact same path, will they grow with you? If the answer is yes, then wonderful. I feel like you're still with the right person, at least for me. The most important thing is for someone who's willing to grow and expand and support me, just as I will support them. Sometimes the universe takes a long time to like catch up with what you want, but you'll be able to see and be like, wow, A, it works. B, too late, universe, I've moved on. It'll be a great contrast for you too, because then you see like, you would have been perfect for me when I was X or even last year, but now I've changed.
That makes sense. If we're all growing and expanding all the time, whether we know it or not, right? How can there be one clear idea and one clear manifestation of love and a person? Does there have to be like a perfect point in which we both come together? And then again, what happens when we grow and expand out of that? And so I appreciate your answer so much about calling in somebody who is expanding and growing as well and wants to continue to do so. When you think of it that way, there's a lot less pressure to be like the perfect manifestation for that person and have them be the perfect manifestation for us. It just allows the universe to work because you've surrendered that it's not this point.
Yeah. And you'll also change each other. So once you meet somebody, they're going to change you. And you're going to change them because together you form something else, right? So your relationship creates something that didn't exist before and will awaken parts in you or strengthen parts in you that you didn't know you had and vice versa. And here's another thing. When you get together, you'll see like, are you empowered? Do you feel stronger? Do you feel better? I always feel like the best thing about my husband is that he makes me feel more like me. And I was waiting for someone who allowed me to feel like me and bolstered me up and lifted me up just like I do for him. I see his best points and I try and bolster and lift him up. And it's not hard. It's a very easy, natural thing. But together we form something, right? So we have this thing, we're apart and together, and that creates something new. And you get an opportunity to see if that something new is better or worse.
Love and a person is so different from a tangible manifestation, like a thing that is static, right? Because relationships are dynamic and they are changing. Whether we are changing or whether we know we're changing or not, or our partner is. And so we're constantly co-creating something different and new, whether we're conscious of that or not. If manifestation is also about becoming who we are, because with every manifestation, whether it's tangible or it's dynamic and continuously changing, I believe that manifestations are helping us get to a higher level of ourselves. The manifestation is never really fully about like the actual manifestation, especially with things, right? It's always something deeper. If we are using relationships specifically with the person that we've reeled in and we're thinking about becoming who we are in this continually evolving relationship, once you're married, who are you becoming? Because I think a lot of times we feel like I've met my person and now my love journey is over. I think it's so easy for us to, especially when we're younger, especially when we're taught by society, like, and they lived happily ever after at the end, right? I mean, there's never any like real shows or anything that really educates people necessarily on everything marriage can be or is. And so a lot of times people go into marriage having thoughts that like, I've met my perfect person and now we're just going to live happily ever after.
Just a quick caveat, by the way, the reeling him in, which you mentioned. So for those of you that didn't get that, obviously like to reel in, R-E-E-L-I-N-G, like a fishing pole or like a fish. And of course, the pun is reeling, R-E-A-L-I-N-G, like you're making that person really real. And there they are. So you're, quote, reeling him in. I feel like my marriage, the thing that I love about it is that we have grown and transformed and it keeps getting better and better and better. We have both really strong personalities. And when we argue, which we do argue at times, we have come to realize it's because we are the same, like we're not going to be pushed around by the other person, which is why we're a good fit for each other, because he didn't want someone who he could lord over. And I certainly was not going to have a man that made me feel small. At the same time, I didn't want someone that would do anything I wanted him to do. I wanted someone who was my match that way. And we respect and love each other in that way. So even when we clash, we can step back and be like, all right, we're having a moment where we're the same. We had to learn in the first part of our marriage how to navigate that. I was in this really big journey of uncovering manifesting stuff, and he was not on the same page. He wasn't resisting, but I was growing and changing. And the big question was, he going to grow and expand too or not? That took some time. And the answer, of course, was yes, he did. It wasn't like a big conversation we had. It was just sort of like something that happened. And we both grew forward from it. I feel like once you've reeled them in, then the fun begins, because you have the person you want to be with. Mm-hmm. So that you can play together, and then you can grow and change together, and you can see who you become together. And I feel like we influence each other and we grow and we change, and it's a whole different love journey. Mm-hmm. And you cannot control anybody else. You can never make anybody do anything. You can imagine in your mind the kind of vibration that you want or the kind of feeling that you want. You can never control anybody. You can control how you feel, how you respond, and what you'd like to see in your vibration. And if your partner does not vibrate at the same level, they'll vibrate right out of your life. Otherwise, it'll be this wonderful dance that just keeps growing together, whether you do or do not have kids or pets or whatever you choose your life to be. I feel like the fun begins and the adventure begins. And there's a different form of love that happens after that. It doesn't end. It should never feel like it ends on your wedding day, or like, oh, I found them, so now it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, there's new adventures to be had. It should just be the start of something wonderful, not the end.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think you're right. I think people don't talk that much about the real stuff. And I feel thankful that my parents, they didn't argue a lot, but they knew how to argue with each other. Like they could actually fight, but then it was over. There was no like door slamming or like, I'm mad at you forever. Like there was none of that passive aggressive stuff. They'd have an argument, they'd talk about it, and then it would be done. And it was never harmful or hurtful or terrible. I felt really grateful to learn that it's okay to sometimes feel mad at your partner and that it's not the end of the world. And my sister and I were also allowed to get angry at times. Mm. We're allowed to express our feelings and to be mad. I don't get mad easily about things at all. But occasionally things get under my skin. And usually it's my husband, because he's the one I'm with all the time. We had to learn how to argue together because his parents argued differently than my parents. And so it's been really helpful to figure that out together. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because even the best relationships, you have arguments sometimes. Mm-hmm. We're all human and we all have times where things are just not great. How can I shift this? How can I be different even if he's not being different? And humor is a great way also. If you can separate yourself from the situation, it really helps, because sometimes when we're mad, we don't mean to be mad at the person we love and we don't know how to get out of it. I think it's important to talk about the fact that you can be angry sometimes and still have a great relationship. You can have a bad day, even when you're practicing the best vibration ever. We are human. Things happen. You get happy, you get sad, and it's okay to have emotions at the same time.
Yeah, I love that. When I was dating and then I met my husband, there was a real sense of being unattached to the outcome. With that being said, I certainly didn't have a desires list either. I just really wanted to go out and meet people and hear their story and see how they're living life. And I was just interested in meeting people, right? I didn't have a real attachment. I didn't have the need to find somebody and get settled and have children. I don't want children. And so I never felt that pressure. Part of manifestation is being able to be unattached to the outcome, knowing that it's going to come, but also being unattached to the how, like you were saying earlier, and what exactly that's going to look like, even though I think you can have a desires list and also surrender it to the point where it doesn't have to look exactly like this. In fact, universe, you can wow me a little bit.
I think to your point, just because you have this list does not mean that you must sit there with a checklist on your date. Like the idea is you write it down and then you tweak it every so often. Maybe you look at it, you think about it, makes you happy. And then you just go out and you live your life. I don't think it should be at the forefront. Like it's not a business transaction. The idea is you have it. You release it to the universe. You use it as your guiding post, right? As you're dating. Then you realize like, wait a minute, this person has everything I had on my list. I can't believe it. At the same time, the unattachment to how it's going to work out. I know it's hard to let that go sometimes, especially if you really want to find somebody. How do you stay both attached and unattached at the same time? It's a delicate balance. It is a balance of knowing and being clear and having it in the back of your head and knowing because you put that out there that the right people are being attracted to you and then you kind of see how it plays out. And at the same time, because you're clear, you're going to have a lot less sorting to do because you're not going to get the people that are really wrong or immediately you'll be like, no, thank you. Let's not even. Coffee's over. Makes it easier, makes it faster.
Although I felt unattached, there was still a level of, when we got together, a level of worthiness that I don't think was there that is now here. There's a difference between someone completing you and complimenting you, right? And I think in that moment, when I was in the dating pool then, I was still looking for somebody to complete me as opposed to compliment me. With every new relationship, we feel more worthy. We know what our non-negotiables are and that kind of thing. What role does this wholeness, this not needing to be complete by somebody else, what does that play? What have they found?
Key to everything. So it's like when I finally realized that it didn't matter if I had anyone or not, when I felt good in myself, because I noticed a pattern that when I would finally feel good about myself in life, was just happy with my life, of course I would meet somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I would get lost in the relationship and I lose myself a little bit. And I finally realized that the key was to feel great in myself, alone and in relationship. And I had come to the point where I was like, I don't care if I ever get married. I reached the point where I was like, fine, if I never get married, I'll travel the world and have interesting liaisons around the world and just enjoy myself because I felt good about who I am. And so when I met my husband, I don't feel like he took anything away. He just added to me. And again, he helps me feel even more whole, if anything, not because he's completing me, but because he highlights my and supports my best self. When you feel whole and complete, you're looking just for someone who compliments you. And you two together as whole people work really great together, making each other feel good and shining and helping each other grow in areas we both have fortes, things that we're good at and enjoy together. So it's complimenting.
I love that because in my own journey at that point in life, I had gotten out of a long-term relationship and I was working and I was doing everything to be Miss Independent. So I was like, I've got this. I don't need anybody, right? And I think that's different than worthiness. That Miss Independent, I don't need anybody, versus worthiness is different. And also, I loved your response because you said, if I never get married, I'm just going to go travel the world. And for me, that really hit on, you knew exactly who you were and what you wanted to do with your life. You weren't, and this is what I feel like I was doing, subconsciously almost quote unquote, waiting for my life to begin, because in my mind and my conditioning, yeah, I was living a life and that was fine. But to be, you know, quote unquote, successful, it would be being married and then my true life would occur, right? So even though I was playing this Miss Independent, I was actually not allowing myself to even know fully who I was and also what I wanted and what my soul's calling was for my life, because I was still under the conditioning that my partner would play a big role in what that looked like. And so, again, I think that is more of the completing that mindset, Miss Independent. I need somebody to complete me versus I know who I am and what I'm going to do no matter what. I'm going to give myself my big life and you're going to complement it. You're going to magnify the love and the strengths.
And the other thing is that even though I had that thought, my husband and I have done a lot of traveling around the world together, but it's not like I met him and then I was like, well, forget it, because I have these plans. I decided to make a change, not because I felt like, oh, now I can't do these things or I don't want to. It wasn't like I never did these things and now he's preventing me from doing them. And in fact, there was a time when my husband and I were dating, he said, well, I was going to go do this and that. And I'm like, look, I don't want you to ever feel like I'm preventing you from doing these things that you had on your list. Like, if you need to go do them, please do, because the last thing I want you to do is resent me because I didn't let you do these things or that you thought you were going to do these things. And then he kind of came back and he said, I realized that I'd rather do them with you. I felt really secure in myself and honestly in our relationship, or at least enough to know if that's more important to him than our relationship, I need to let him do it. I need to let him go and do these things. And if he comes back, great. And if he doesn't, I will be fine. I think that we are changed, or we want to make adjustments for somebody. And I don't mean give up your whole dreams in your life. Like, hopefully they want to do these things. One of the things that drew us to each other is that we both love to travel. The reason we moved to Hawaii is because we wanted to be in the place that makes us the happiest, so that when we travel places, we can come home and not feel sad, not feel like, mm-hmm. Oh, we have to go home. We're like, oh, we're never going home. So it's good to have plans. And when you meet the right person, your plans might adjust. But this is not to say, like, I was going to do all these things and then I met so-and-so and my life sucks now. But if the person's like, oh my God, that's so exciting. Like, I don't want to stop you. Or could we do this together? Or how will this look with us together? I think the most important thing is also to be open to the surprise of how someone might change you.
So I guess my question comes back to, should we know who we are and how we want to show up in the world first, before getting into a marriage?
I feel like you grow and change so much in your 20s. It is really helpful to take the time and not be married unless you really, like, you just know, and you grow together and you grow up together.
Mm.
I have seen that happen so beautifully for some people, but a lot of times I think people get married too young and they don't know who they are yet. And they don't even know that they can know who they are. Being from a line of very strong women, I feel like that was just ingrained that you have a life and then you get married.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was 25 when she got married, which was considered an old maid at the time she got married. Been to college and grad school and was living a life. I think it's all relative because everyone's situation is different. But I encourage you, if you can, to at least figure out who you are at the moment, because it's going to change. But at least feel good, not wandering around or thinking that getting married will solve all your problems or that life is going to be perfect as soon as you're married. Like, no, let it be perfect now. Yeah, I think that's the big thing.
I was thinking about, well, if we're waiting to figure out exactly who we are, A, that always is changing, like you said, and B, like, how do we want to show up in our world? Like, how do we want to give up our gifts and really knowing what that is? Some people, like you said, will never get there. So for them to deny themselves love and marriage because they don't know sucks, right? I mean, that's terrible to live without love and to be loved. It just also means that if you don't know and you're attracting somebody who doesn't know, then this might be one of those relationships where it doesn't last forever, but it is not less important than all the other relationships.
And I also want to say to people that don't want to get married, that's also fine. No one's forcing you to get married. It's okay if you don't want to ever be married. You don't have to be married to be happy, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. But if that is something, like, I think marriage is fun. When you're with the right person, being married is great. But if you're like, I don't know, I never thought about it before,
right,
you're going to get someone else who doesn't know because they haven't thought about it before. Mm-hmm. And then you realize later who you are and you're like, oh, not a fit. So just be grateful when those things happen and you get clarity. And maybe it's not forever. Thing that doesn't make it bad. It just makes it something that happened and you got better. Hopefully you grew from.
Right.
Not that it doesn't suck at the time, because it might.
Right.
Yeah. Wonderful. This is so helpful, Becky. I really enjoyed your book. And I'm so grateful for your wisdom and your answers. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun. And it's always a pleasure delving into these things that I feel like they're not talked about as much as they could be or should be. And it's obviously an area that I find interesting and important. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and being part of this community. I want to hear from you. Did something resonate with you in this episode? Are you experiencing awakenings or synchronicities in your life? Email me at podcast@abundancewithathena.com or DM me on Instagram at abundancewithathena and share with me your stories. And until next time, keep awakening to the abundance that's always within you.